Yeah, we could use some democracy in this country. Wouldn't that be nice? We will talk about that in a moment here with Frank Heindel, who I have been hoping to get on all week long, and I have to keep putting him off because of so much breaking news and everything going on. We're going to get to him momentarily. In the Twitters, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog of bradblog.com, which is now back up. Your friendly investigative citizen journalist, troublemaker, apparently, if you listen to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, troublemaker, muckraker, but I say all-around swell fellow, and I hope you agree, in One More Night for Mike Malloy, who will return on Monday with Kathy. On the Twitters, Benedict at Large writes to us after hearing our last segment talking about this some amazing assault by these thugs working with the Chamber of Commerce, though they now deny it, were putting together to attack progressive organizations, progressive journalists, and apparently folks like yours truly, who they named in these emails, and my family and personal details that they were preparing to target. Benedict at Large tweets to me, if DOJ recommended the stalking firm, and apparently they did, they recommended the law firm to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, this Hunton and Williams. If DOJ recommended the stalking firm, then they can't investigate. Due to conflict, you need a special prosecutor, my friend, says Benedict at Large. Yeah, and good luck getting that. Good luck getting any accountability. Good luck getting any accountability anymore in this country for this corporate crime spree that continues with impunity as the nexus between big corporations and big government continues to merge and to swallow this country. John Cole today, in writing about all of this and these U.S. chamber attacks, says one thing that even the dim bulbs in the media should understand by now is that there is, in fact, a class war going on, and it is the rich and powerful who are waging it. Anyone who does anything that empowers the little people or threatens the wealth and power of the plutocracy must be destroyed. You have to understand the mindset. They are playing for keeps. The vast majority of the wealth isn't enough. They want it all. Anything that gets in their way must be destroyed. He goes on to say that at this point, you might as well not even bother to have elections because the entire system has become so rigged. Speaking of rigged elections and problems we're having, we're going now to someone who I have been putting off all week trying to get him on. And I'm going to have to give him short shrift again tonight, but we're going to try to get it all in as much as we can. Frank Heindel joins me now. He is a businessman from Charleston, South Carolina. He is a Republican who got interested in his state's voting machines after the Alvin Green, Vic Rawl debacle last year in the Democratic U.S. Senate primary, when this unknown man, a guy nobody had ever heard of, did no campaigning, had no money, Alvin Green, ended up somehow winning the nomination for the U.S. Senate, the Democratic U.S. Nomination for the U.S. Senate on 100% unverifiable voting machines that they use across the entire state of South Carolina. And by the way, that are used in some 20 to 30% of the rest of this country as well. Frank was recently featured in an HDNet special on Dan Rather's HDNet investigative report on the hackable state of these voting machines, these electronic voting systems that, and a lot of folks know that I write about this quite a bit at bradblog.com. Frank has taken it upon himself to fight for some clarity and some accountability here by writing public record after public record request. And he's found some extraordinary things in the course of those public records requests. Hey, Frank, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Brad. I appreciate you having me. Appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, my friend, you're really my new hero here. Did you know anything about electronic voting before you started on what has really become a crusade out there?
7 or 8 months ago, probably the average guy would know about it. Not very much, but it's been a very steep learning curve.
It has. It's real complicated, and I think they like it that way. So yeah. What did you – was it the Alvin Green Vic Raul race, in fact, that got you to say, hey, something doesn't smell right
here? I was a little suspicious before, but that kind of gave me the impetus to really kind of jump in and get after it. And, since probably the middle of June, I've filed probably 40 Freedom of Information Act requests at the county and the State Election Commission trying to understand what's going on. And right now I'm targeting the election files, the actual electronic files with all the digital data to have some computer science experts analyze the counties.
Now, they use touchscreen voting machines made by ES&S, these horrible Ivotronic machines across the entire state, pretty much in South Carolina. The same machines, I should add, that entirely lost 18,000 votes in Florida in a special election in 2006 that went to the Republican down there by, I believe it was 369 votes, and no one has ever explained what happened to those 18,000 votes, but Florida governor at the time, Charlie Crist, did at least get rid of the machines down there. But you guys still get to use them in South Carolina.
And it's the same. It's the same machine that the Ohio Everest Report cites as being, unreliable and unsuitable to have elections. That's exactly the machine that we have here.
The Ohio Everest Report being the largest independent voting machine investigation study of its kind that was carried out by Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner a couple of years ago. Yeah, I mean, everybody who looks at these machines, frankly, finds that they're crap, that they're garbage, and even when they work, the problem is they are 100% unverifiable. This is 100% faith-based voting. So what have you found in the course of your 40 Freedom of Information Act requests?
Well, I've zeroed in more here probably since November and gone after maybe like 10 different counties, just picking them and going out and getting the election files and having the computer guys look at them.
Right.
And what we're finding is that there's a lot of holes in the data. There's precincts missing, and we're having to go back and keep asking for it. And at the county level and even at the state level, there's not the expertise to really give you much faith that everything's adding up, and it's, we're having a hard time matching the certified totals that they've come up with using their data.
And you could, because you were looking, and they count on people not doing this normally, but you were actually looking, at the audit logs for these machines?
Yes, the audit logs and the ballot image files predominantly, yes.
And you found, before we get to the lost and extra votes you seem to have come across, you found, what, thousands of errors reflected in these audit logs, correct?
Yeah, it documents how poorly the machine's performing. They've got battery problems, and there's a lot of terminal shutdowns. Unexpectedly shutting down during the day is one thing that just kind of jumped out at me, and that was kind of what I focused on initially. But once you start kind of going in and trying to make sure all the PEBs and the machines get counted, I needed some help to do that. So that's kind of what I've been lucky to have people looking at that angle.
Because you were able to get in touch with some experts to look at the material that you got. Okay,
yeah.
Now let's talk about some of that material aside from the errors. I know a couple of weeks ago, as your investigation has moved forward, and by the way, I'm letting folks, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because you are setting the example for what citizens need to do in every county, in every state in this union, to oversee their own elections, to have real, self-governance. And so in looking at this, you found in Culloden County alone, 1,389 extra votes?
We didn't really find that. Another citizen out there initially found it, but basically it's about 10% extra votes, more than the actual people who showed up were actually certified in November. And the county didn't catch it, and the state didn't catch it. And when they had us, some of the citizens requested our auditors to go in there and kind of look through the data and say, what was the real count? Help us out.
And you guys were able to explain these extra votes? Were these people who were voting illegally? What were these?
No, I never really heard a good reason as to why there was 1,389 extra votes. We couldn't really understand it looking at the database and the audit log files to come up with the reasoning.
And what about the county, Culloden County? Have they given you an explanation for more than 1,000 extra votes?
Well, they ended up coming back down and taking off about 1,400 of them and saying this is what it really should have been, and we can match that up. But the data that they've given me it still has holes in it. It'd be helpful if it was all there so we could go back and count all the races and make sure that it was as they say it was. But when you have holes in the data, you can't quite get comfortable with the results.
And this data that you're getting, are you able to understand it at all yourself, or have you had to learn how to read these documents, or have you relied on the computer experts?
I've had to pretty much rely on the computer experts. I can go through the audit log and see the different votes cast by voter and the machine shutting down and turning on in the morning, shutting down in the evening. I can see that. But to look at the ballot image file and to understand that Nikki Haley had 5,563 votes in Carlton County or whatever the numbers are, I'm not that adept to do that.
There were, in fact, we're going to take a quick break here. Speaking with Frank Heindel, you can get more information on what he's been doing, his crusade, frankly, at scvotinginfo.com. We're going to find out about 13,000 votes that seem to be missing entirely from Charleston County in South Carolina, discovered once again thanks to the great work of Frank Heindel. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. See it. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Democracy in the USA. We could use some Egypt-style democracy out here, where we actually are able to have self-governance and actually able to oversee our own elections to know that they were accurately recorded. And in 20 to 30% of this nation where we use touchscreen voting machines, whether they have that fake little paper trail or not, they are still 100% unverifiable voting machines. And Frank Heindel, who has set up a website called scvotinginfo.com, has been looking into what happened last year in South Carolina with his voting machines when somehow or another Alvin Green won the nomination for the U.S. Democratic Senate nomination last June on those touchscreen systems that are used across the entire state, the ESNS touchscreen systems. And I should add, because for so many years it has been progressives, Democrats, Greens, even libertarians from time to time who have been doing this fight. Frank Heindel is a Republican, and we thank him for making these public records requests and learning what he has about his voting machine and giving about his voting system and giving a damn overseeing his elections in his state. Okay, Frank. So you've learned also in looking state by county by county that we had what 13,500 votes apparently missing in Charleston County. Is that correct?
Well, that's what the files were lacking, that many ballot images to give us a complete picture. You know, kind of backing up a second, in South Carolina, the state law says that the vote should be counted in public. And if you're a citizen like myself and you're using an electronic voting system, you know, how can you count the votes in public? And the only way I see to do it is to get the electronic files, ideally, and publish them online and let us see that.
Well, except those electronic files, we don't know that was the way that people actually voted.
I get that, and yeah. I can't change that. But if But the electronic files should ideally match with the certified totals.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
So just a basic accounting of number of votes in and number of votes out should total. That's kind of an elementary audit, and that's what we're trying to perform. And even that's hard to do.
And you found that there were just not images? So this isn't the matter of, like, undervotes where people didn't vote.
No,
you're saying there's actually no ballot image.
There's no ballot images for the November election, 13,501 ballot images. And for the June primary, there was 5,499 ballot images missing. So for a total of about 19,000 over the two elections.
And this is only in Charleston County,
and
correct?
Only in Charleston County. And they're saying they're trying to find them and get them back to me. But, you know, I would rather they be readily available. And kind of my argument going forward here is if you can't reproduce the election and show it to me accurately as it happened, why should we trust the machines going forward?
You shouldn't. Our system's not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances.
Yes.
So what's their explanation for 13,500 missing votes?
I haven't heard a good explanation yet. I really haven't heard a good explanation. I've asked the legislative delegation to kind of look into it, and I'm hoping that I get a little more traction and get to see all the ballot images.
Frank, what you're doing out there is the most important work that I think can be done in this nation. So I want to personally thank you as a longtime election integrity activist myself. Welcome you aboard and thank you for what you're doing out there.
Same to you too, Brad. Appreciate it very much.
Please stop by scvotinginfo.com to see the work that Frank is doing. Try to emulate it in your hometown. I wasn't able to give him as much time as I would like just because there's so much breaking news here. But Frank, thank you. Keep up the good work, and please keep me updated as things progress.
We sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Frank Heindel from scvotinginfo.com, a citizen who took it upon himself to do the right thing. In this case, a Republican citizen who took it upon himself to do the right thing. So God bless him. scvotinginfo.com. You, too, can restore democracy in your hometown, your county, your state, but it's going to take some work. That work continues straight ahead as Sue Wilson joins me to discuss our media. Brad, in from Malloy.
Where is she? Tell me where. And if she says to you, she don't.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared, not falling. Stuck in the middle with you for another hour and a half or so. Delighted to be here. Man, delighted to be here. Delighted to be back up on the internet after an extraordinary day, an extraordinary night. We're going to, I suspect, return to the topic of this appalling U.S. Chamber of Commerce attack with their thugs. Frankly, they're thugs that are working with the government to attack private individuals, people like me, progressive organizations. Now we got the evidence of it. You can check out my interview that I did with David Dayan, who interviewed me today based on all of this over at Fire Dog Lake. While you're there, go to Empty Wheel, which is also part of Fire Dog Lake. Read her coverage of this. But do not miss Glenn Greenwald's piece today. He also was targeted for attack by these fraudsters and scammers. Working with the Bank of America, working with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, working with the U.S. government. And his take on it for my money is right on the money for what little money I have. We will return to that in a bit and take your calls in the next hour. Open lines 877-520-1150. Before I get to my next guest here, a question from For Earth in the bradblog.com chat room. And you can now tonight, because we've had so much problem with the server, got up just before airtime. You can get to the chat room either at bradblog.com or at mikemalloy.com, where Desi and For Earth are moderating tonight. Very lively, great people in that chat room. You should go say hello to them. It's up while we're up live. So For Earth asks, question for Brad, has there ever been an election thrown out in the U.S. because of faulty machines or fraud? Well, not a lot. Generally, whoever wins on election night, whether they've actually won or not, gets to be the winner. That's how it works, and the more we use electronic voting machines, that's what happens more and more. There was an instance, however, recently up in Alameda County, I think it was an election in 2004, where there were some questions about that election on these touchscreen voting machines that California had used at the time. And as the case was going forward, the county, Alameda, secretly got rid of the machines. So they couldn't examine them anymore, so the case couldn't proceed. And the judge was so furious. It was a marijuana case. It was legalizing marijuana, as I recall. Up in 2004, and so he threw out the results of the elections and ordered a new one, an incredibly rare instance. That's why on election night, we need to get it right, which I'm sorry to say I haven't figured out any better way than to count the ballots as written by hand on paper at the polling place after the close of polls, in front of everyone, all parties, video cameras, right there at the polling place, with the results posted before those ballots move anywhere. So far, I haven't found a better way to have real democracy, real self-governance when it comes to counting our ballots. The fight continues. Speaking of that fight, I'm joined now by Sue Wilson, a veteran journalist who blogs at SueWilsonReports.com. She's also the director of the documentary film Broadcast Blues, which you can get more information about at BroadcastBlues.com. I'm sorry, BroadcastBluesTV.tv. She's also become a good friend over the last year or two as we have been looking at the state of our media and how we have gotten into this mess that we are in and how it can be that so many people are so desperately disinformed. And it is, frankly, because they listen to the public airwaves where the corporations have taken them over and are lying to us constantly. Hey, Sue Wilson, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, I am so not happy tonight.
Why is that? Why are you not happy?
I am really not happy with these intimidation tactics that I'm seeing them using on you and Glenn Greenwald and others, and this directly relates to our public airwaves. I'm really tired of being intimidated into silence, and I'm done being silent.
Good for you, and I hope a lot of other Americans feel the same way, because the fact of the matter is, if I didn't happen to be quote-unquote lucky enough to have this microphone this week to tell this story in the detail that I have, I can't imagine it would have gotten. I know that Rush Limbaugh, I know that the right-wingers who own, what, 91% of talk radio in this country, I know that they're not talking about this story today, or Clarence Thomas having broken the law for 20 years. And we wonder how we get into these messes, Sue.
And we've got so many people out there who are so hateful. They are so angry. They're angry at the government. They're angry at each other. And it's a pack of anger based on a pack of lies, Brad. And I'm really, really tired of it. You ever hear of the old moral majority? I learned about the moral majority years ago. They were really a very vocal minority. Well, I'm here to tell all of you people listening out there, it is time for the people majority, the people of right minds and right thoughts and right actions to start making some noise. Because this intimidation is never going to stop until we get our act together, when we become a force like the Tea Party, only we'll call it the Truth Party. What do you think of that?
Oh, I like that. Well, you hit on a good point, Sue Wilson. You say, there's a lot of anger. but that the anger is based on a pack of lies. And it's something I've been trying to speak to this week. You know, people have been righteously angry in many cases over the past year or two, certainly the past 10 years. But these folks in the Tea Party, they're being told one thing, you know, the government is doing. If, in fact, the government was doing what these Tea Party folks have been told they're doing, they would have every right to be angry. But the fact is, that's not happening. Something else is happening. There are things to be angry about. There are things to be angry at the government about, and really the corporations about. But most of America have no idea. They just don't hear these things. And you put together a report, Sue, looking at some important facts about our public airwaves. And I'd love to go through some of those bullet points that I already mentioned. One, 91% of talk radio programs are right-wing. But a lot of people think that, oh, the media doesn't matter. I'm sorry, the public airwaves don't matter because now we've got the internet and satellite radio. And, you know, we don't need to fight to return the airwaves to the people. Your study shows, the information you put forward in your study shows that's not the case. The internet is not where people get their news.
The internet will increasingly over time be where people get their news. But did you know that most people today get their news from radio? Radio, where people tend to think doesn't matter at all. 50 million people listening to these pack of lies on talk radio. You know, you tell a lie often enough and people think it's the truth. You put it on talk radio, you broadcast it to 50 million people, and you create an oral history.
And it is important because Rush Limbaugh, as you pointed out, more people listen to Rush Limbaugh in his 3 hours a day than listen to the entirety of Fox News during prime time. And so many people focus on Fox News as if they are the worst evil of them all, and maybe they are. But the fact is, more people are hearing not just Rush, but dozens and dozens and dozens of right-wingers lying to them. And I don't mind the lies so much as they are doing it on our public airwaves. Talk to explain how those are our public airwaves that these corporations are using.
Well, you know, first of all, it starts with the word air, okay? You breathe the air, and these frequencies go across the air, and it was ruled many years ago that these are the public airwaves. And, in fact, the Supreme Court has ruled that anything that goes out through the public airwaves, it is the viewer and the listener whose interest is paramount, not the interest of the broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very important that people understand right here and now, these are our airwaves. And I'm here to say, there's been a lot of talk. I hear it all the time from these right-wingers who are, they're usually Tea Party folks. They're just trying to stand up for their right to hear Rush Limbaugh. And they'll say they're infringing on my First Amendment rights by taking that away. I'm here to tell you right now, radio speech is not free speech. Radio speech will only be free speech when everybody gets a crack at that microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so critically important that people get it. If you can hear my voice right now on the actual terrestrial radio airwaves, if you're sitting in a car listening to an AM station somewhere, you are in the minority. Only one out of 20 people in this country can do that.
One out of 20 when it comes to progressive radio. And that's because there is no, and for people who don't know the business, and I can tell you right here in this building that I'm sitting in, there is no competition in radio. The system has been rigged. These licenses have been given to corporations who own, you know, both right-wing and maybe one or two, if they're lucky, progressive stations. They keep the progressive stations on the tiny little transmitter so nobody can hear them. They don't promote them. And while the big ones go out across the country. And by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with ratings, because when, you know, Stephanie Miller, whose studio I'm broadcasting in tonight, when she goes up against, for example, Laura Ingraham, Stephanie Miller wins. Yet Ingraham's on 400 affiliates, Stephanie's on 40. So there's a problem, and it's supposed to be overseen by the FCC. And Obama even said on the day that he came in to the White House that he was going to look again at media ownership. But it seems to me, Sue Wilson, the FCC has abdicated their role, has just stopped overseeing anything. All they're doing is handing out candy by way of licenses for free to these huge corporations that do not use them in the public interest as they are required.
That's right. Now, Michael Kopp's office, Michael Kopp, for those who don't know, is the FCC commissioner that a lot of progressives consider the FCC rock star. He's come out with a list of public interest obligations to try to put some real teeth into what licensees are supposed to be doing. But here's a misnomer, Brad, and I got this again from the FCC just about a week ago. This is really going to take an act of Congress to correct this problem. The FCC is going to come out with a study. It was supposed to be out by now. It'll probably be out in April about minority and female ownership of our public radio airwaves.
Right.
Without even knowing what's in it, we already know what's in it. It's going to say that women and minorities don't own enough of the radio stations. But the trick is, there's no teeth. The FCC does not have the ability to change that. All they can do is issue a study. This is going to get down to legislators. We have got to start, A, educating the people about these are our airwaves, and we all have a right to get on the airwaves to express our various points of view and facts. Okay? And B, we've got to start educating legislators because congressmen, senators, most of them are unaware of this. And then we've got to start finding people to run for office that really understand this. Because at the end of the day, the only way we're really going to change the ownership rules in this country is not through the FCC. It is by rewriting the 96 Telecommunications Act, which is 15 years old.
And I got to get to a break, Sue, but yeah, it was signed by Bill Clinton and allowed the corporations to buy up pretty much as many radio stations as they want. Good luck getting those folks in Congress to do anything. Not if the U.S. Chamber has anything to say about it, Sue. And the fact is, Obama oversees the FCC. He could order them tomorrow, it seems to me, to restore the fairness doctrine, and then Congress has to unwind the Telecommunications Act. I'm speaking with Sue Wilson, Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Look at the tears roll down the street.
Whoa. Yes, they're rabbi, sold out to the merchant ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit.
There are 2,570 hours of right-wing talk radio broadcast each weekday versus 254 hours of progressive talk over our public airwaves, which we ought to be protecting the way we protect our national parks. I'm speaking with Sue Wilson of SueWilsonReports.com, who has educated me a lot on what is going on in the media in this country and over our public airwaves. And next hour, by the way, we will take your calls on any topic you want to talk about. 877-520-1150. Get in line now, 877-520-1150, on the attack by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the corporatocracy that has taken down, that is taking down this nation, on Egypt, on the media that has been lost in this nation. Whatever you want, 877-520-1150, all next hour. All right, Sue Wilson, you also write in your report, you point out that despite the availability of numerous new media alternatives, that radio's weekly reach has declined only modestly in the past several years. The reach of radio was, it reached 94.9% of Americans in the spring of 2001, and when the iPod was introduced, to only 91% in fall of 2008. So as of 2008, at least, still radio, actual terrestrial radio, our broadcast airwaves, are still listened to by 90% of America.
People don't get it, and it's so important. And you know, if you look at the where these airwaves are being utilized, you know, Brad, you and I both come from the Midwest.
Yeah.
I think we have a little bit different perspective, because if you go to the Midwest, it's darn near impossible to find a progressive voice on the radio.
Oh. Good luck. Good luck finding them out here, frankly, in California, to be frank.
It, It's very difficult. But, man, you can drive, 2,000 miles across this country and not hear a single progressive voice. You're going to hear Rush and Glenn and Sean and all those folks.
Yep.
Any little corner of the country you go to. Here's what scares me, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing our culture.
Yep.
It's literally changing our culture. And I think Sheriff Dupnik saw that.
That's out in Pima County after the shooting of Gabby Giffords in Tucson. Sure.
That's right.
Right.
And I did a nice little piece for the Brad blog.
You did
about
indeed.
That.
Yes.
And it took a little bit of heat for that, but at the end of the day, he was right. Here you got a sheriff who has been a sheriff for many, many years who's seeing a mob.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing a mob start to be created, and he knows why. Now, did that mob create Jared Lee Loeffner? Not so sure, but there's a critical mass here.
Mm-hmm. That mob certainly created Byron Williams, who thankfully was stopped before he could finish his plan to assassinate everyone at the ACLU and at the Tides Foundation, this organization that nobody had ever heard about, frankly, until Glenn Beck started talking about it. Glenn Beck, by the way, gets 2.1 million viewers on Fox News, but 9 million listeners on the radio. Sean Hannity gets 2.5 million on Fox News, but 14.25 million listeners on talk radio. Radio matters. That is where America is getting these messages, these lies, the sorts of things, that leads that guy, and I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden, in Knoxville, Tennessee, to go into a church. And a church he perceived to be liberal, and shoot as many people as he could and kill them back in 2009 because he wanted to kill everyone in Bernie Goldberg's book of the 100 liberals that are killing America or destroying America. He couldn't get to them, so he said, I'll just kill liberals anywhere I can. They are put up to this, and it is via our own airwaves and our own elected officials, including Barack Obama, and the Democrats are doing nothing about it.
You're right. And you talked a couple minutes ago about restoring the Fairness Doctrine. I actually am old enough. I worked under the Fairness Doctrine. And what's happened is you've got Sean Hannity and the rest of them who've been scaring people on our public airways
yep.
for years. They've been getting on their big microphones going, it's the Fairness Doctrine. It's the Fairness Doctrine.
Right.
It's the Fairness Doctrine. We're not going to be able to talk to you people anymore.
Right. They want to take conservative talk off the air. Yeah.
Well, God, I mean... What ever happened to be able to have an actual conversation where you take a set of facts and you each have an opinion about what those facts mean and be able to really have a debate? Hey, don't you think for 1 minute, Brad, that if you put Rush Limbaugh on the air with Keith Olbermann, you think that would get ratings?
Hey, listen, put Rush on 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 600 stations, that's fine. Put Olbermann on for the next 3 hours. I don't want to take anybody off the air. I want more voices, not less. Sue Wilson of SueWilsonReports.com. Thank you for your good work. Keep it up. We'll talk much more in the future, I suspect.
Hugs, Brad.
All right. Okay, we're coming back with your calls here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad, in for Mike.